What's going on, everybody? This is Renee Perez and Curtis Owens, and you're listening to the Rough and Real Podcast. Somebody just joined us in the studio is going to come in and hang out with us. Again, we got my wife, Leticia. What's going on, baby? How you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
You got to talk into the mic.
I'll be here for a few minutes. Well, hold on.
Talking to the mic.
How about you point the mic down a little bit? Can you do that?
No, because it falls apart.
Oh, does it fall?
Playing Candy Crush on her phone, on Instagram.
No, I'm watching Nipsey Hussle.
We're a big show now.
Rest in peace, Nipsey.
Okay, first and foremost, I got to ask, who is Nipsey Hussle? Because, I mean, I'm tired of all these people. You know, they're doing these great things, but no one knows about them until they die. I mean, was it just the LA thing or what?
Yes.
Okay.
It was.
Nipsey Hussle is a big dude. He's known everywhere. His biggest thing, he was underground. A lot of his stuff was underground. He never got on the mainstream because he never was trying to put like actual radio hits, right?
Okay.
But he has a story of he grew up in LA, grew up in South Central off of Crenshaw and Slauson in that area. So what he did was, like a lot of these guys, unfortunately, growing up in those areas, he sold drugs. But he got to a point where he made enough money so that he can start off his musical career. He stopped selling drugs. And then his big thing was reinvesting back in his community. So once he started doing his music, his brother had the idea of saying, hey, let's make some shirts. Also to, you know, instead of selling drugs again, to try to make some more money. And that's when they came out with the Crenshaw, because they grew up by Crenshaw High School. So the original was the Crenshaw High School colors. He put Crenshaw on a shirt. They sold that.
That was them?
That was them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was his thing. He started doing Crenshaw on a shirt. It was a blue shirt with a yellow writing, which is the high school color. So, of course, he just started selling them, you know,
right,
hotcakes.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And then from there, then they just went out to different colors, and now they got them everywhere. So also what he did was he actually went back on the corner where this is just a story I heard. Quote me later or fact check me later. But the big thing was what happens. He ended up buying the shopping center where he used to stand in front of and sell drugs. He rebought the whole shopping center. He opened his store there, and he ended up buying properties and all that. And he's basically giving back to his own community.
I see now.
So that's what he ended up doing. But he's not mainstream. He was never really a mainstream rapper, though he recorded music with mainstream rappers, you know, like Snoop Dogg and The Game and all these other people. That was his thing. So that's what made him big. A lot of people, even, I've heard like DJs on like DJ Envy and all these other people, they all say that he was a genuine dude because he wasn't about fame, though he was about his money.
Yeah.
But he was also a big advocate about giving back. He actually opened up, and I can't remember the name of it, but he opened a place where kids could come back in and was trying to recreate like a Silicon Valley.
Okay.
In South Central.
Gotcha.
So I can't remember the name of the place, but yeah, he hooked it up with computers the whole night so that people could come in and start using their skills that they learned.
I see
so
now.
That's a quick shutdown of Nipsey Hussle. So shout out to him. He passed away. Rest in peace. People said, I knew of his music. I didn't know much about what he was doing till after he passed, unfortunately.
Right. I got you.
Yeah. But I'm a Crenshaw graduate. So a lot of my friends knew of him, went to his store. They buy his merchandise. So I see it a lot on Facebook and stuff. But he had a brother. I guess he went to Crenshaw. But I wasn't there the time that he went.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Now, talking about giving back to the community.
Okay.
Hi. Last weekend, hey, man, we did a great thing, bro.
Oh, it was amazing, man.
I ain't gonna lie. Not to boost us and pat ourselves on the shoulder, but it was great. And not only that, but the people that came out to support the event.
Yeah. Yes.
Was awesome, bro. Yeah. Shout outs to everybody that was
there.
For those that maybe you guys missed the last week's episode, that we ended up going to, So now, when I looked it up on Google, it said it was like
Wilson Park.
Okay.
Come to find out that everybody calls it Library Park.
Okay.
So when I put it on Facebook, a lot of people didn't know what I was talking about. So I ended up getting people like, hey, where's that at? Where are you guys going to be at?
Yeah.
I'm like, by the library. They're like, oh, you mean Library Park. So I had to go back and change.
It's a local thing, huh?
Yeah, it's a local thing. But yeah, we went out there to Library Park. It was me, you, Letty, we took the kids. Your wife, Raina, was out there. And again, it was crazy. I just put it on Facebook that we were going to be out there trying to give back. Brother Lindsay showed up with his wife, and he brought, you know, bags with sandwiches, and he was out there getting his preach on.
And they make good food, too, by the way.
He was on fire with that microphone.
Yeah, he had a little megaphone out there.
Yeah.
Man. He was getting after him, too. Yeah. It's funny. I was watching him when he was, you know, doing his thing, kind of preaching and whatnot. you know, he'd say, if anyone, you know, hears me, raise your hand. And you see, like, people sprinkling, like, hands coming up throughout the park. I'm like, they're actually listening to this guy. That's cool,
yeah,
man.
No, it was real cool. But, yeah, no, he was out there with his wife. Who else did we have out
Natalie
there?
Natalie and Albert
were showed
yes.
up.
Yes, oh,
man,
did.
They were out there playing.
Josh and Rosemary. Dee.
And Dee. Let me see. Who else? Came? Oh, the kids, obviously. Josh's kids yes. were out there.
And the kids helped out a lot, too. They were passing out a lot of stuff.
You know what? I think that was one of the cool things, man. I actually grabbed the ice chest, and I went walking around, and I had my son and Josh's kids. They walked around with me, bro, and it was hilarious. It was a beautiful thing to see because they were actually handing out the waters. I was just pulling the ice chest.
Yeah.
And to hear the kids giving these kids, the less fortunate, the waters, and were like, God bless you. God bless you, telling everybody.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's amazing. Because they're young, cool, man. To see that, I was like, yeah. That's cool. Oh, and shout outs to your cousin. Was it your
yeah.
cousin?
Yeah, my cousin Greg came out there
yeah,
and helped out a little bit.
My cousin was out
yeah.
there too, man. He was a lot of help. So overall, it was just a great experience. We were able to give out food. We gave out some toiletries that you purchased and set up. Mm-hmm. Dude, we got to pray over a lot of people, bro.
Yeah.
I think that, to me, was probably the best thing, to see people praying.
There was
people.
A few people that got saved that day, man.
That was amazing.
I saw that. I was watching. I wasn't doing the saving myself, but I seen some people out there doing some good, some heavy praying, and
yeah,
I was just cool. sitting back like, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing.
I was sitting with you.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool to see, actually.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick one thing to redo what we did out there, what would it be?
You know, just talking to some of the people out there, I mean, they really just appreciated just the hygiene. You know what I mean? I mean, so just the little things that we just take for granted. You know what I'm saying? So if we're at the store or whatnot, you know, pick up a few extra items, just throw it in a bag and take it out there. Maybe bring them a Bible next time. We didn't really have no material to pass out. Mm. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. What about you?
Well, how about you, babe?
What would I do different?
Yeah, what would you think we could do different?
I probably would have brought more stuff.
Like what? Like food or toiletries or like what? Water?
The toiletries were really good.
Yeah.
That was a good
idea. They really appreciate
because
that.
At food, we had the other church that was a Catholic church.
Oh, that was at the park
family,
as well.
Yes. So they go every Sunday. They said they've been doing it for the past year. So they give food. So we know food is being supplied there, but toiletries, I think that's what went really quick. And
yeah.
I think it goes a long way because it was like a little care package.
And we got I got a lot of extra clothes at the house too. Usually I just take it to Salvation Army, drop it off. Mm. But
right.
I think next time we go out there, I'm just going to bring all the clothes and just lay it out on the bench or whatnot. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Put pants in one area, shirts in another, and let them just have at it, you know?
Blankets. Yeah. And for those out there that, you know, didn't get a chance, go on our Facebook and our Instagram pages, the Rough and Real Podcast. I put a bunch of pictures, some videos on there. So yeah, no, to get a chance to take a look at what we did. And of course, now we're trying to set up, you know, if people want to help out and reach out, because I did have some people actually reach out to me and was like, hey, you know, because it was a short notice. We weren't planning on making this a big event.
A lot of people said they didn't know about it.
They didn't know about it, right? But I had a friend of mine, Felipe, was like, hey, if you'd have gave me a heads up, dude, I'd have come out there with some stuff too and helped you guys out. And, you know, so we are setting up a PayPal account.
PayPal, yeah.
So it's going to be set up yet or not yet?
Not yet. It's
not
coming.
Yet.
It's coming. It'll be set up by tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll get it set up and we'll get it put out there. Also, our website's out.
Yeah.
The Rough and Real Podcast, .com is up. Go check that out. There's going to be, eventually the link will be there so you guys can donate if you guys want. And also keep up with what we're doing. Cause hopefully we can keep doing these outreach programs.
We're going to continue to do what we do because God just blesses us like that.
That's
so if you guys want to have an opportunity to help out and, you know, we shout you out or whatnot and you want to do some good things, hey, join us. Please partner with us, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah, babe. So any ideas for the next time we do it on? What do you think?
No, I just said toiletries.
Just more toiletries. That's
I
right.
think
like
so.
You said, more stuff, right?
Yeah.
My last.
It goes quick, right? And it was like.
I think that's what went quick. And then again, they were getting fed already. So it's like the food went, I mean, for it was a sandwich. So they could have ate that later. But I think food wise, they were okay. But toiletries, definitely. I think that was a big hit.
Yeah.
I think maybe next week or, you know, when we go out there next time, you come out there with some poetry or something like that, you know, do a little poetry. Don't you write poetry?
No.
Oh, man, my bad.
What I look like?
I'm looking like, don't you know that I don't know?
Exactly. We got a little poetry slam out there. I thought you were from L.A. Everybody in L.A. knows how to rap or knows poetry. Crenshaw. Nipsey.
Yeah.
You had a child, your inner Nipsey.
Nipsey.
Inner Nip.
This That's is for Nipsey. Oh, what would you do differently, man?
You know, no, I have to agree with you guys. I think it was just the toiletries. I think that was cool. Yeah, definitely doing it on a different day because I did talk to Sister D and she was telling me that she found out, because she does a lot of work in Tracy for things like this, that this lady's actually there every Sunday, the one that was there that Sunday. So, yeah, providing the food. She's there every Sunday. Yeah. So she just said, you know, and I agree with her, is they should at least get one good meal a day.
Yeah.
Right. So to sit there and do it on the same day.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, so she was like, maybe Friday nights or Saturdays, you know, if we have food. But other than that, yeah, if it's toiletries and things like that, mm-hmm. any day is good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Any day is good for that. You know, but yeah, no, it was a good time. I really enjoyed it. I was happy to see my son out there doing it.
Well, he's been asking for a couple of years now to do that. He wants to feed the homeless.
Wow. That's good. That's cool.
And it finally became a reality to him. So he was excited. And he's like, we got to do it every day. And I'm thinking,
I got that kind of money. We're going to be homeless.
He's got that kind of faith, though. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up.
He does. It's cool. It was a great experience for him. I was happy to see that with him. And, you know, and again, you know what? Even though that, like, you know, the people we were able to reach, but to see us come together, I think that was cool.
That was cool. On such short notice, too.
And a short notice. People just showed up.
Yeah.
That, to me, was real dope.
I think everybody wants to do something, but it's getting together and getting the times together. And I'm kind of impatient in that way where I'm like, you know what? If the longer we wait, the less chance we're going to do it. So I'm like, we're going to just do it.
Right.
Either with us or
you're not. You're right. Perfect timing.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it's, and a lot of people are just waiting for someone to say, go.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people want to help, but they're like, do I go out there by myself? Or what do I do?
Yeah, and I'm sure if you were out there by yourself, it'd be pretty intimidating too. Cause it's definitely. You know,
yeah. But even if you just go out there by yourself, as long as you reach out to a few people.
Yeah.
People will come up.
Yeah.
God works that way, bro.
And they saw right away. And let me just say, very kind people out there, very gentle, very patient. No one was overbearing. There was nobody crazy out there. Wasn't ever scary out there. Yeah. People were just like really, really appreciative of us just being out there and just giving them something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like no, they were just really happy, man.
That's, you know what? You're right, dude. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
No, there was nobody yelling at us. Nah. They didn't, you know, nothing. It was just, it
remember
was
cool the, when we first got there, we had the guy with the spiky hair. He was like, hey, let me clean up the area for you guys. Let me make sure it's presentable.
He was
remember
that? Really good.
He was really cool. Like, and it was a trip. Here's a trip about the guy with the spiky hair. I was actually talking to him for a while. And he actually was like, after, you know, we were just talking, where you from, who you are, yada, yada. And at the end, I was like, hey, bro, you mind if I just pray for you right quick, right? And he kind of looked at me because the kids were around me. And he was like, whispered to me like, hey, I'm atheist. And I'm like,
wow.
And it was crazy because he didn't want to say that in front of the kids.
Right. Yeah.
He was being respectful.
Respectful,
to the kids.
Yeah.
And I just told him, I said, it's okay. God loves you anyway. Like, it's all good. And he kind of smiled at me and he was like, maybe next time. I was like, bro, no matter what, just know God loves you. You know what I'm saying? Stay strong. Do your thing.
Yeah.
And he walked away, but he was real respectful about it.
Yeah.
Now there was that bike path.
Right.
Right. So there was some people back there.
Yeah.
That did come out and was like, nope, I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, but they were respectful about it.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't, you know, they didn't cuss me out or nothing. They were just like, hey, nah, I'm cool. Like, and it was crazy because I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to give you a water. Like, I ain't trying, I don't need nothing from you, but I'm just here to let you know, hey, God loves you. And over there, there's some food and stuff, some toiletries. And they were just like, nah, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think Brother Albert did have a situation where somebody, right? Babe, go ahead and tell him that story because I know you know that one.
I don't know it verbatim, but I think the female was basically saying, I don't pray to your God. I don't love your God. Basically, in that sense, like, just don't talk to him about him. So stay away.
Okay.
So I think it was something of those lines. And Albert could definitely tell that story. But yeah, she was not appreciative of him. And he's like, I just want to give you something. And she was like, I know, you know, upset. So it was kind of in that sense.
Yeah. But again, but nobody got out of hand. It wasn't that's what I'm saying. I mean, of course, those things happen. But
say something funny?
Yes.
Did you shave your head today? Because half of it is still got hair.
Did I shave my head?
Dang, she over there clowning. I don't see it.
I cut my hair like yesterday.
Yeah, this side is a little bit longer than this side.
You don't shave his head for him?
No, his wife. What is this? I'm not a barber.
What?
Cut my own hair.
Traditional Mexican wife, I thought.
Well, you didn't catch this piece here.
All right, well. Okay.
Hey, I am not editing this part out of the show.
Okay. I cut it out there because I just.
It's bothering her, man. That's cold, man.
And people wonder why I don't bring my wife into the studio.
For real, right? And this is why we need donations, y'all. We got bad lighting in here. He's getting his head clowned on.
And you guys think you don't see it. Hello.
I'm putting my hat back on. I'm about to put my hat back on.
Gee, I thought she was going to make fun of like the bald spot or something at the top.
Well, it's just right here. It's long.
How am I long? So
you can post it on your website.
People that know me. You know what? I'm about to put it on Facebook.
You
know
what,
dude? Actually, I can see it now. She pointed out. Okay. I see it right in the middle. I think you just missed the spot, and it just looks like it's everything. It's just that front spot right there.
It's right here.
For sure you did. Yeah, you did.
All
right.
From this angle, it just looks black.
I'm like, how we go from all this talking to all of a sudden we just,
sorry.
Start climbing my head.
Well, it was bugging me.
Honey, and that's why I love you, and that's why we brought you in the studio.
Take the wheel.
Jesus.
All right, so let's move along a little bit. Something that me and Curtis were talking about, babe, and you're here, so we can all discuss it. So we're all recently saved. All three of us got saved roughly around the same time. What do we do different, or what's next? Like, what about people out there that get saved, and now they're like, okay, now what?
Yeah, exactly. You're saved, now what? That's a good question.
You can still do whatever you want. You can still go out there and party. You can still do everything once you're saved. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Well,
definitely.
Peter says you're free, but don't live as you're free. You know, that doesn't mean you live in sin and do whatever you want.
Oh, so you mean to tell me that I can't accept Jesus and then go back to, like, selling drugs?
Well, you know what, man? There's a transition out of that. I think you have to want better. You know what I'm saying?
I thought once saved, always saved.
If you know better, you got to do better. That's in there, that's too, bad. Somewhere. You know?
How was your transition, babe? I mean, what do you see different? Did you see anything different? Did you experience anything different after you were saved?
I think hardship. I think I got tested a lot more. And I think it just gave me a conscience of, like, do this or don't do this. But I still get tested up to this point, just like yesterday. Yeah. And I think that's what it is. And I think now you just recognize yourself to do better or you don't. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And now we understand the Holy Ghost. So since we have the Holy Ghost, which is a gift from God, then I think that's what makes us be better Christians.
I like it.
We rely on that. So I think once we rely on the Holy Ghost, you are living the path that you should. Whereas before we were saved, we know nothing about the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
That's, we were living life. That's just it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I think getting tested, that's a big one right there.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yeah. No, I think that, not only that, but I think it's even, you know, when I got saved, I tripped out because, I don't know, I guess because I was so hungry for Jesus at the time, you know, which I still am. But at that moment in my life right there, I would say for like the next 3 to 4 months, I mean, everything had to do with Jesus.
Everything, he was on, like, fire, huh?
Yeah, like, it was like I could be at work, literally be at work, and I would drop a screw and I'd be like, Jesus, please don't let me lose it because I need it. I would look down and see it. I'd be like, thank you, Jesus. And, you know, like, it was like everything. Yeah. Everything.
You tied everything to
everything
Jesus.
Everything was tied to Jesus. Okay. Everything. You know what I mean? And then it's like, as a year went on and time went on, then you kind of get a little bit lax. And I noticed that. And when you start getting lax, that's also when, like, it seems like more tests or more things are thrown at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I was living my best life those 3 months after I got saved, because it just seemed like everything was falling in place. Like, everything was working. It was like clockwork. And then, you know, you get comfortable. You don't read as much. You don't, you know, but I think when, after you're saved, I think one of the most important things you want to do is stay connected. You want to get around people that just one way or another are connected. Either, you know, they've been saved for a long time. They're new to the thing, or, you know, hang out with your pastors a little bit, text them, like, just anybody.
You know, right? One just thing, my aunt's church in Hayward, Glad Tidings, they she said that once people get saved, like new people, whatnot, the pastor or whoever has them go around and get the phone number of 10 people, anybody in the church.
Yeah.
Just anyone you see, anyone that you've talked to on the way in or something like that you might know, get their phone number, get their contact information. And, you know, they'll be the people that you can just call anytime and be like, hey, I got a question about this. You know, help me out. I think that's amazing, man, because I think a lot of people, you know, at the end of church, you stand up, all right, pray this prayer. If anyone wants to get saved, okay, cool. And then you walk out, you don't really know anybody. And it's like, okay, now what? I'm saved. Yeah. But like, okay, what do I do now? Like, you know,
Well, here's an even harder one. Okay, you get saved at a church. You're surrounded by people. You got pastors. What if you get saved out on the street?
Right.
What if you were at the park last Sunday with us and you got saved?
Good point. That's a good point. That's an absolute good point.
You know, that's even harder.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to always think, like, you don't have to go to church.
Yeah.
That was always my thing when I was younger.
Right.
You don't have to go to church. God is everywhere. God, I can da 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 da. And of course, the building, we're not talking the building. We're talking about the churches, the people, blah, blah, blah. We've discussed that. But I do believe you need to go to church.
Yeah.
I believe you got to stay connected, because that's like, almost like restarting your week. And just, you know what I mean? You go back, you worship, you listen to the word, and it gets you back into the groove.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just like keep filling your tank. It's almost like going back for gas, like in your car. You know what I mean? You go back, you get gas in it every week, and you try to get through the week the best you can.
Well, I believe, like, when you get saved, man, God's calling you. You know what I'm saying? He's knocking on your heart. He's calling you home. So he has a plan for you. You know what I mean? It might not be immediate. You know what I mean? It might not be right then and there that you're going to go and do something great. It might, you might, you know, get saved, be put on the bench and then build up and then go do some great things. So I think when you first get saved, just be patient. Just start off knowing that, hey, what is God about? Let me figure out the person that saved me, Jesus Christ. Who is he and what is he about? What does he stand for? Let me go and find out that information. And if it's hard for you to read your Bible or read or whatever the case may be, you know, go on the internet, go watch some good YouTube videos, listen to some sermons, you know, Google it, you know, find out what's going on. Yeah. Who's this Jesus guy? I think a lot of people, for me in particular, when I first got saved, I was like, okay, I want to read the whole Bible, you know, and I started in Genesis and then I was like, okay, cool. This is interesting. And I got, you know, I got to Deuteronomy and some of the Exodus, some of the other things. And I was like, okay, what the heck is going on? Now I'm lost.
Right. Right.
And I got to Numbers. I'm like, y'all just counting. Like, what is going on? I'm done. You know, and then I had, I did some research and I was like, nah, man, starting the New Testament, starting the Gospels, just understand what you're doing, what you're about, who saved you and all. And that opened my eyes big time. Right. You know what I'm saying? So if I was to give someone new, you know, or someone new advice, I'd say, hey, listen, this is what God stands for. This is what you need to work on. Understand that, you know, you need to be gentle. You need to be humble. Kind. These are the things. These are some of his principles.
Right.
You know, and from there, just try to love. I mean, love is the big thing.
Yeah.
Always have love in your heart when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with situations, and when you're dealing with yourself, especially. You know, have love in your heart. Try to have love. Think love all the time. And if it's not that, pray about that and ask God. You know, because like you said, you're going to be tested. And the I think for me, the test was you did everything on your own up until this point.
Yes. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You handled your business, but now I'm taking care of you now.
Yep.
And that there's that pull. Your flesh is like, nah, I'm still doing me.
Right.
But God's like, your spirit's like, nah, God controls your steps now. And there's just that battle. You have to learn
to rely and trust.
Right.
It's a learning process, and God will put you in situations where you're going to have to learn to trust and rely on him.
That's very true.
And that's it. And prayer is going to get you through it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
the only thing. So yeah. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But I like the fruit of the Spirit. Do you guys know what the fruit of the Spirit is?
We do. Go ahead and educate us, though.
Lord.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
You know what? What is going on right here? She must listen to our show last week.
Hello.
Everybody, that's from, she's trying to take my job. That's from Galatians 5. She ain't nobody special. You old Joel Osteen.
Hello.
That's what's up, man. That's really cool right there.
No, it is, because I mean, honestly, and here's the big thing is a year ago, man, maybe even 6 months, she wouldn't have known that. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even after being saved. The reason I know it is because you brought it up on the show many times and we discussed it, you know, but how did you learn it? Huh? Did you read it?
So I'm doing this class. It's a Bible study with a few of my friends.
There you go.
And so we are learning are memorizing verses. And that's one of the ones we had to learn. And which one is the one for this week? I believe it is Philippians 4.
13.
4, 6, 7.
Oh, whoa, okay.
And it is, don't even quote me on this because I'm still learning.
It's okay.
But it's, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything.
Prayer and supplication. Uh-huh.
Yeah, prayer, petition. Present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding and will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Dude, look at this.
There you go. I'm learning.
She is stunting on you, dude.
Yes, I'm learning.
She knows a lot more scripture than I do.
You better recite something right now, man.
So
you're the head of the household.
When God said, let there be light.
Let there be light. In the beginning, it was God.
I'm proud of you, baby. I'm proud of you.
That's amazing. That's, you know what's really cool about that? When Jesus came out of the wilderness, you know, after the 40 days or whatnot, and he was tempted by the devil, and the devil was like, hey, I'll give you all this stuff. He responded with scripture.
The scripture says.
He's Jesus. He could have said anything. He says, listen, man, I'm Jesus. Exactly. I'm about to create some new stuff right now. But he goes, hey, the scripture says. Mm-hmm. So that teaches us that, hey, when you're in those situations that in the wilderness, you memorizing the word like that, that's huge, man. That's huge.
Because
I think we all kind of have an understanding of like, I know God says this and I feel it. But if you can actually quote it, Devil don't want no problems.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. That's legit.
Wow, that's cool. I like that, baby.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing. Thank you. She's been doing that. She's been doing that. What, for the last 6 weeks? Five, 6 weeks.
It's a 12. I'm proud of her. Course.
Now, you've been saved for 2 years.
Yes.
And you just started that Bible study 6 weeks ago.
I did.
So there you go. You don't have to do it right away.
Right. No, you don't.
You don't have to. No. You don't. I mean, it'd be great if you did. It'd be great if you started right that next moment. But God has a plan for everybody.
And I think I understand it better now. I think I have a better heart, a better, you know, mindset. Because before, you're trying to cram everything in. Like Renee said, you're trying to everything about Jesus.
Right.
So you fill yourself in with it, but you're not really applying it.
Yep. I agree.
And now it's like, I know how to apply it. Right. And so I think now it's more effective.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There's definitely some things I had to learn because I just had to connect the dots. Right. How does me reading the Bible apply to my life? Yes. And you're right. Had I not taken this time to see how my life is going and then compare it to the Bible now, it's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly.
If somebody would have just crammed it down my throat, I'm like, okay, yeah, the Bible says this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what the Bible says, but you can't apply it. You don't know what it really means to you, exactly. You know? So that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's working. Sebastian said I'm 50% nicer, so I'll take it.
There you go. Niceness is up 50%.
You know, the other good thing, too, is, like she said, she was tested yesterday.
I sure was.
So she was tested. But also now she can take that back to her group, uh-huh. The way she was tested, and have somebody discuss it with. And I think a lot of times we need that, too.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but it's who you discuss the situations with.
Yeah.
On how you resolve the issue or how you approach the issue how you think about that issue. Because back in the day, if I ran into somebody on the street who cut me off or whatever, it all depends who I go back and talk to, how I'm going to respond. Because I could go back and talk to my mom and dad about it, and my mom and dad would probably have been like, just forget about it, let it go.
Right.
I can go back and talk to my boys about it, and they'd be like, who was that? Where he at? Who is he? Oh, you going to let him do that to you?
Right.
Like, really? You just walked away? And that pumps me up, and now I got to go do something different. You know what I mean? But the fact that she was, like I said, she was tested yesterday, but now she's going to go back to that group, discuss it.
Yeah.
And the feedback she's going to get is going to be a good one.
That's amazing.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it changes you, man.
So the next thing is who you surround yourself with.
Yes. Right. You know? That's why I think you got to stay connected.
Yeah.
In our church, they have the small groups. We jumped into the small groups and we jumped into a few of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because again, we were craving it and we wanted it.
Right.
And it changes it because I feel it's hard for us. I guess it was a little different because our families don't live out here. So when we decided to go to church and we got saved, then we joined small groups. That's what we were surrounded with.
Yeah.
I think it's hard when you go out and get saved and your brothers and sisters and mom and dad and grandma don't believe or from a whole nother world, you know, they're still from the world because now you have that pressure. You know, we didn't have that pressure, which was a little easier for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, if you don't have that support group at home, you got to go out and find it.
You know, our God is a big God and he knows our hearts, man. Exactly. And he clears our path, man. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. He knows who you are, how strong you are, and what you can and can't handle. So it's like, he's not going to put you in a situation that you're going to lose in. You know what I'm saying? Cause he doesn't want to lose you. He's not going to lose you. You know what I mean? That's the whole once saved, always saved thing. So, I mean, who you surround yourself with is just so huge, man. Yeah. And just it's so hard to understand when you first get saved how big God is, and because you just kind of think like, oh, that's just a coincidence. It's like, nah, man, that was God. You know what I mean? And it's hard to understand that, but as you mature, you start seeing stuff. You're like, wow. Because I mean that we were just watching the movie Fireproof, really good movie. I highly recommend that. It's a Christian movie, and it's about this couple going through marriage struggles. So the girl, the wife in the movie, she's kicking in with her, whenever time she fought with her husband, she would go to her girlfriends at work and they'd be like, you need to tell him this. Nothing but negative stuff.
Right.
He goes to his father and his father's a Christian going, hey, son, you have patience, read this book, da, da, da. And you could just see, you know, it's about who you surround yourself with.
Right.
She ends up meeting an older lady later on in the movie and the lady helps her out, makes her think about things, but she don't want to hear that. She's running away from that. She goes to the girlfriends. Because they're giving her that,
right? You know,
but it's a whole thing, right? Because a lot of times it even happens in real life where, say, if you and your wife have a fight, if you go out to your single friends, they were like, "Oh, you gonna let her dog you like that? Come on, let's go to the club, let's go to the strip club, let's go do this, let's go have a beer." You go around some brothers from that love Jesus that are married, and even if they're single, I'm not gonna say that, but you get around those brothers, they're gonna give you some good advice.
Yeah,
hey man, you know what? let me read you some scripture. You're right. The king of the house. You know, you're the priest of your house. Go back. Love your wife the way, you know, God loved the church. Da, da, da. And now you're like, all right, I'm going to go back, humble myself, and I'm going to go back to my wife.
Hey, humbling yourself. That's a big one too, man. Humble.
Right?
Humble yourself. That's huge.
It depends who you hang with, man.
Yeah.
It depends who you're chilling with. That's the most important thing to me. And it sucks because sometimes I feel you are going to have to step away from certain relatives. Yeah. You are going to have to step away from some of them friends that, you know, probably you grew up with.
Hey, and if you don't step away, God will pull them away from you.
Yes.
He will. He'll, yes, you know, he will. You'll see. He'll pull them away.
And I think as you've grown, I mean, especially as we're all grown, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's probably a little harder for a teenager or, you know, somebody still 18, but I can tell people out there and from experience, if you are young, if you are 18 or 22, 27, 30, 68 years old, if you go and tell your quote unquote best friend or a good friend, hey, you know what, man, I just found the Lord and this, you know, da, da, da. I want to quit doing these things that we do, whatever it may be, right? Drinking, whatever. I just don't want to do that. If they don't support you on that because you're trying to better yourself, they ain't your best friends, bro. No. They're not looking out for you. They're not looking out for your best interest.
Yeah.
That's a real friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think a lot of people got to make sure. And a lot of times we're afraid to tell people that we found Jesus.
I think when it's corny, it's not cool.
You know,
I always say, oh, I'm just trying to clean things up. I'm trying to get better for Navarro. Yeah. I'm a father now. Right. You know, I had like these different things. I just don't want to like just hit him over the head with God. But you can't run from it, man. And they see it after a while. They're like, you know what, right, dude? Let's keep it real. What church you going to? Really? You know what I'm saying? Hey, you drank the Kool-Aid, huh?
You know, and we discussed it here, right? Why? I mean, one of the things we started this was because we said it just seems like Christianity or just loving Jesus wasn't mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's not mainstream, man. People take it weird. It's different.
Well, that's that spiritual warfare. And that's another thing too, that you'll get as you, you know, develop in Christianity is there's a whole realm of just nastiness and warfare going on above us that we don't understand. We can't comprehend, but it's happening, you know? So some things just happen and you're like, why did they even like, what's going on here? Yeah. Just trust God, have faith, and just be obedient to God.
And also focus know that some friends come for reasons and seasons.
That's true.
Some of them are not meant to be in your life forever.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That is true right there.
Reasons and seasons, people.
Yeah, and sometimes it sucks because sometimes we hope they stick around forever.
Yeah.
But they weren't meant to be here forever. Mm-hmm. They were here to teach us a lesson.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that was it.
Demons, though. I mean, not calling anyone, nobody's friend demons.
But they know what's funny. I got a friend call. We used to call him Demon.
Oh, man. he's a pastor now. Pastor Demon. What up, Nips? But those, you know, demons, they run from the spirit. They run from goodness. They run from the fruits of the spirit. So you'll have some people running away from you. I mean, not to judge that lady that you guys were talking about with Albert, but, you know, she's seen him. I mean, who would want him to refuse a bottle of water and some food?
Yeah.
A demon would, you know what I'm saying? And not, when Jesus was here, he was pulling demons out of people. So it's real. We're not making this up.
No, it's all true, man. But being saved, it changes everything, man. It's crazy. It's changed my life. And you know what? And I'm still struggling with stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling with letting certain things go. You know what I mean? Things that I know I should let go. Things that I know I should change. And it's still hard, man. It ain't easy. It's been 2 years.
Let me tell you, man. So the other night, not putting my business out there because I don't want my wife to get upset, but me and my wife were having a discussion that was a little heated in our bedroom. One of her family members was over, you know, and, you know, later on they mentioned that, hey, you know, y'all Christian, y'all, you know, this is wrong. What's wrong with Christian? Y'all hypocrites. So, you know, I had to tell this person, like, listen, man, I'm Christian, but I'm human. You know what I'm saying? And none of us are perfect. Nobody is good except God. That's in the Bible. I said, we all have our moments where we're in our flesh and we have our moments where we're in the spirit, but we're all trying to get better. Mm-hmm. We're all trying. It's an effort thing, you know? So understand when you guys are saved out there, don't think that, oh, because you slip up or something happens, that's going to happen daily. You know, that's it. If it doesn't, you're not perfect. But like Johnny Clark said, you fall in the mud, you get up, you clean yourself off, you don't roll around in it like a pig. You know what I'm saying? So
there's a difference.
There's a huge difference. Some people enjoy being in that mud and they don't want to get out.
Yeah.
That's something you got to deal with. You got to pray about because there's some stuff you just got to let go.
And also there is, like, you know, your family member, there's always going to be somebody nitpicking at you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just waiting for you to slip up.
They watch you closer now.
And me and you've discussed this off air. With our podcast.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes it feels like people might be looking at us waiting for us to slip up. But we're human. We're here to make mistakes. I mean, we've never claimed to be perfect on this podcast. We're learning as we go. The whole thing started with being two average Joes.
Right.
Nobody's perfect but God.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, but so if you just got saved and all of a sudden like, oh, you know, you're drinking a beer, you're Christian, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Come on now. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? People are going to look at that. People are just going to sit there and wait for you to fail.
Well, there is a target on your back. Yeah. You know, there is this invisible target on your back. You know, so like you say, you know, that's part of the test, you know, so you just have to be aware of that and don't take it personal. Just trust in God and let him work. Let him fight your battles. That's another one. Like, let God, once you're saved, you belong to him. You are his child now. Yep. Let him fight your battles. He says the vengeance is mine. Let him handle it.
Right.
Forgive everybody. Love everybody. Let it go. God will take care of it on his time, not your time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and once you get saved, you put on that armor of God.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Now, when you think of the armor of God, what do you think? What do you picture?
I mean, because it says armor, so I'm thinking like medieval.
Medieval time armor. Yeah. But no, because we, remember I was telling you we're reading that book, Fresh Eyes and stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they twist them. The way it described it, that it wasn't really, it's not a defensive thing. It's not a putting on the armor of God and then letting people attack you.
Uh-huh.
It's you put on the armor of God so that you can go out and do God's will.
I can see
and
that.
Nothing can affect you.
Right.
I can see
and
that.
That's what it is. It's an offensive. So it makes you look at it offensively instead of defensively.
That's cool.
And that was real dope because it changes the whole meaning when you look at it that way.
No, that's true.
Because a lot of people want to put on the armor of God and then sit back and then just wait for arrows.
Yeah.
That's not about that. It's put on that armor of God, get up and walk.
No, that's true. That's I like that, man.
You know, so I think like, you know, what we did last weekend, that was us. That was us going out there, putting on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Not knowing what to expect. We just went out there and did it.
Yeah.
People, some people denied us. Some people was like, I don't want to talk to you. Or, you know, I don't believe in your God, that kind of, but we took it.
Right.
It is what
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, no, that's important. But yeah, getting saved, man. I don't know. What'd you feel? Did you feel anything different?
No.
How about you, hon?
I did not.
Now you say you were saved. Hold on. Let me back up.
Go ahead.
You say you were saved before this time we started going to church. Now, cause when I got saved was at this church 2 years ago. And I was like, I did the prayer and I was like, yeah, I'm saved. And I remember you saying, I'm already saved. I don't need to do that.
What are you talking about? Wait,
yeah, remember when they tell you to do the prayer where it says,
yeah.
Hey, I just asked God and he said she was lying about that. She was not saved.
I just texted God right now.
He was lying.
No. Cause I do remember this. When I got
was
saved,
I
it was
drunk.
Like.
Rough and real,
at that
baby.
Time, maybe. If not drunk,
hungover.
If not the drunk, hungover. But no, because I do remember, because they make you do the prayer. That's technically when you're saved. When they say, you know, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, yada, yada, yada. So I remember doing it at church, and then I was like, okay, I'm saved. But then we ended up having that meeting with Pastor Arabella.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then I'm like, and she was like, okay. And then I was saved. That's when I considered being saved at that moment.
No.
Because I didn't feel nothing before.
Jesus
and I remember,
saved me before that.
Before at Thrive or were you saved?
At Thrive.
Oh, okay.
At
cool.
Thrive.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was like you consider yourself saved prior. I don't know. I was just asking.
Yeah. No, it was at Thrive.
At Thrive.
Yes.
Did you feel anything different? Like what was different? How did you know you were saved?
I think my mindset became different.
Okay.
I think I was open to being saved. Like I was like, I gave it up. That was it. So basically I surrendered. So that's when I was like, I'm going to church. I'm changing different lifestyles. And I think that's how I knew.
One step at a time from there.
Yes. And then baptism came. That was a different story.
You want to share that? What you felt? How was that?
Yeah, I was a little upset because Pastor Arabella.
What is going on right now? Hold on, man. I'm doing the Dr. Phil session right now. Hold on.
He was the first one that was mad and saved.
What is going on here?
I got to hear this. Let me get my popcorn.
I wanted you to talk, and I was not up for that. I'm not a good talker.
Public speaking. But yeah, she's here on this podcast handling it.
Right? But yeah, so she was like, you should say something. And I was like, I have nothing to say. Just, you know, I want to be baptized. That's just it. So it went on for a few weeks, and it was to the point where she was like, well, do you know what you're going to say? And I said, I don't even want to do it anymore. I'm good.
So you're feeling that church pressure.
Pressure.
That church organization pressure.
And I said, she was like, well, God wants you to say something. I said, well, maybe he doesn't, because maybe this is going to be a way of people seeing that you ain't got to say nothing and still be baptized. but she was kind of hesitant about, you know, me saying something. So I just said, I love Jesus and I'm ready to give him my life. That's it. And I just went in there, got baptized, and that was it.
Let me jump in on that. Let me just say something else. When you get saved, folks, it's a personal experience, a personal relationship with God, with you and God, not with you, your church and God. It's with you and God. There's no rules to this. No. There's no rituals. Nope. Right. You know, people like to force the religion part of it on you. And I'm not saying religion is bad. I'm just saying it's a relationship thing. Everyone's church is different. They have different, you know, organizational rules within them.
Right.
And practices and things like that. But that's not necessarily of the Bible. That's just their own personal stance on it. Mm-hmm. So don't ever have someone make you feel bad about how you're, you know, loving your God.
Yes. And I know she meant it in a good way.
No,
and
that was because
she
wanted
to push you to, you know, you can do this. You can do this. But I was like, this is my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And
PA, let me just say this. Pastor PA, man, she's amazing. She's amazing. I think what her thing is, she loves people so much that she wants to maximize everything out of you that you have for God. Because a lot of us, let's keep it real, we're in our comfort zone. We ain't going to go too far all the time. You know what I'm saying? We're going to sit back. Right. For example, she got me into serving the church.
Yeah.
You know, I would eventually volunteer to do that, but because of her, she put it on me even more. And then now I love it. You know what I'm saying? There are the great things about it, but again, don't have anyone make you feel bad about, you know, how you're, you know, your experience with God. Cause that's not of God.
No, I agree.
No, and that was funny too, because she kept telling her, and I'm like, you don't understand how stubborn my wife is. Like you've met your match, you know. And it was hilarious because she did. She wrote that up. You don't even think you wrote it.
I didn't write anything.
You didn't even write that.
I wrote a note.
Okay.
Oh, to Pastor Chris, because he was supposed to do it. Yes. And it was gonna say, "You're speaking for me. I love Jesus. Done." And that's what the note said. So I even gave it to him, and he was like, "Okay." So he was ready to read it.
Yeah.
But then Pastor Eric came on.
They switched it, and Pastor Eric ended up doing it.
He gave me the mic, and I looked at him like, "I'm not even supposed to." Speak.
Pastor Eric wasn't playing.
He was like, "Oh, I know." He was like,
"Here you go." And I was like, "So then I said it," and then even PA in the background started screaming, and she was all excited. So it was a good experience overall, and I did. It was a good moment, no matter what. You know, it was baptism.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it was
of course,
a good moment.
We loved it.
But coming up to it, yeah, I was a little upset. I was like, oh, no, this lady. But yes.
No, that was cool. Yeah, because I remember doing that. And it was funny because they told me same thing. Write something down. I can't sit down and write the perfect speech or the, you know, my testimony. I've never done a testimony.
Right.
So my whole intentions was that I told him straight out, I'm going to listen to what people have to say. And then I'm going to, you know, just wing it and just speak from the heart at that moment.
Yeah.
Right. That was the whole thing. So I'm going in there confident. I'm not too afraid to be on a microphone, you know? So I was like, okay, let me do it. And when we get there, they're like, Renee, you're first.
Oh, I was like,
really?
Damn.
So again, and at that time, I'm still like, man, God, you funny. I'm like, God, you got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And I had to go up there and do my thing. And, you know, it was cool though. But yeah, no, it was a great experience. Because we did it at the church. You did it at
Easter Friday. Good Friday.
We did it Good Friday. Mm-hmm. You did it before us, but you did it at a pool in the house.
Someone's house.
Mm-hmm. That was cool. And you did it with your wife? You and
Yeah, Randy? Right before we had Navarro, man. It was 2 days before we delivered Navarro. Oh, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So he's baptized. Kind of already.
He was, He was in the water. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Yes.
Cool. Yeah, no, being saved, it's not as cracked up as a lot of people make it. No, because you get tested. And I'm only saying that jokingly. No, because there is a lot of tests, man. There's a lot of tests. And I think there's a lot of learning to do. So if you're not open-minded and want to just be willing to learn and change.
Right.
And again, we talk about humbling yourself a little bit. Man, it's going to be difficult.
I think people, you know, there is the aspect of, you know, be still and know that he's God, you know, let God type thing. Mm-hmm. But there is some type of work that you need to put in.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it could just be humbling yourself. It's whatever you're uncomfortable with, or, you know, you said you're stubborn, or, you know, so I'm impatient sometimes.
Why did
you
say that, Renee?
Or Renee called you stubborn. Yeah. I'm impatient sometimes. Whatever it is about you that makes you, that's the thing that you're going to probably have to let go. You know, and that's one of the hardest things. And that's the area you'll probably be tested in the most. Because God's like, hey, I'm trying to fireproof you. I'm trying to make you pure, man. Right. So you got to let go of that before you get up here with me, because I can't have you in the same room with me. if you're going to be acting like that. You know what I'm saying? So, talk about it. So understand that that's just what it is, you know, and you'll see that. And let me just say this too. And I kind of support Johnny Clark about this. We love to point at the enemy, the devil, the evil one, whatever you want to call him, for everything that happens as bad. But I kind of agree with him because the Bible says, you know, or whoever the Son sets free is free indeed.
Right.
So once you get saved, you're free. God, you are God's now. The enemy cannot possess you. He cannot touch you. He can tempt you. You know, he can put stuff flash in front of your eyes, but you don't have to catch on to that. So really, it's us. And our personal temptations are things that we have to let go, our flesh. Yes. So stop blaming everybody else for you messing up. You know,
start taking some responsibility.
Take responsibility for that. And how I take responsibility for it is in prayer. And then talking to God about saying, hey, God, you know what? I'm feeling this way, or I messed up on this. Please forgive me. Help me. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. Give me the wisdom to get through this, to let this vice go, or whatever the case may be. You know, help me. Right. Help me get past this, because I'm struggling in this area. You know, it's that submission. You know, you have to admit it and submit it. You know, you have to really submit and say, God, I want to give this to you because I can't carry this.
Right.
You know, this is not healthy for me. Whatever it may be. You know, everyone's got their own thing.
Right.
You know, so and people like, because people will judge like, oh, you know, you don't have enough faith. Well, I'm glad that you came in full of faith, but I didn't.
Right.
You know, and I have areas I came in full of, and you're not. But you know, it is what it is. But you know, you just have to, you know, give that to God and ask Him to give you strength. And it's all about submitting to God.
Yes.
And being obedient. That's huge.
So since you guys been saved, we've all been saved roughly the same time. But for the last 2 years, have you guys ever hit a point where you go, man, I don't know if this is real. Like, have you guys ever questioned it?
I gotta think about that. No, I don't.
No.
Not me.
I haven't.
Not me. No.
No. Okay. Just asking.
Have you?
No. Not fully. I don't want to. Well, let me rephrase
that. Well, let me say yes. So you
can let me back
so
up.
So you can admit to what you got to say.
No. Not like that. I do question it. Like, I have faith, but then I go, what if this is not real?
Okay.
Not that I'm questioning the faith.
Yeah.
I have the faith, but then I'm like, What if none of this is really real? But then I go, well, if I die, I'd rather die believing and then find out that it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Than to die and go, man, I should have believed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's when I think about it that way.
You know what's kept me strong is I firmly believe in heaven or in hell. And I've always been like, man, I hope I get to go to heaven. But now, you know, knowing what I know, I was like, I'm going to heaven. So when I think about, is this really real? Is God really watching me? Is it really on my back? Is it really spiritual warfare? And I ask myself, well, is there heaven and hell? And I'm like, absolutely there is. Well, then all this other stuff's real too. You know what I'm saying? Because there can't be one without the other.
Now, let me ask a question. Now, do you believe that you have to accept Jesus to go to heaven?
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
1,000%.
Yes.
Okay.
If you believe in the Bible.
People that are Catholic, per se, and they pass away, they just don't go to heaven?
I don't know how they work.
Let me give you my opinion on that. If you're a quote unquote Catholic and you just follow the religious part of it and you don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your, you know, to save your sins, then I don't believe you go to heaven. I don't believe so. Now you could do it. I still believe that you will face God. Because I do believe all of us will face it one day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Judgment day.
And, right. And at that point, God will decide if you really believe that he died for your sins or not. Because I also believe that there's a lot of people in every church that say they believe in Jesus Christ died for them, but don't really believe it.
They question that. Yeah.
They question that. Mm-hmm. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So I think, so I honestly believe that. No. And it's crazy because I think back. And we don't know. And we like to say it because it makes us feel good to say, like, when my dad passed, oh, he's in heaven. Someday I'm going to be in heaven with my dad. Or my dad's in heaven with my grandmother and my grandfather and this person and that person. But the reality is we don't know if they really went to heaven.
Well, let me ask you this. So if you're God, let's say you're God, you're up there. So-and-so who's been a Catholic all his life dies.
Right.
He comes before the throne and he's like, hey, I grew up Catholic. I didn't know about this whole Jesus thing. Nobody told me. This is what I thought. Mm-hmm. God loves everybody, man. Right? He truly does. He does not want to see anybody perish. Right. So it's like, you got to think, we got to hope that, hey, God's going to be like, you know what? I seen what you did right. down there. I seen your effort level. I seen that you thought you knew what you were talking about there. Do you understand that this is what it's about? And do you accept my son right here to my right as, mm-hmm. as the savior? Absolutely, I do. I thought I was the whole time. Man, get in the gates. Let's do this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Versus someone that's saying, you know what? Absolutely not. I do not want your God. Right. I don't want you. I'm going the other right. way. I don't want to be, I want no part of you, God. Okay. Bye. Go burn. You know, I think everyone will have an yeah. opportunity. 100%, man. 100%.
No, and I think there's no line there.
That's like a good
I said,
way.
Yeah, because I think, like I said, I think a lot of us, even now in our church and, you know, whoever's listening to this church, yeah, you're going to get to that judgment day and God's going to be like, look, I know you went to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
But let's be real. For the last 20 years, mm-hmm. you never believed me. You never accepted me.
Yeah. You well, know yeah, there's a partner. He says, hey, get away from me. I don't know you.
Yeah. He'll turn his back on you.
I don't know you. You turned your yeah. back on me. I don't know you. We never sat down and had a relationship.
Right.
We never had that moment of prayer between us in that conversation mm-hmm. to show you who I am and you show me who you are. I mean, I know who you are, but you didn't know who you never asked who I am.
Right.
You know, you never sat down with your Bible. You never sat down to ask those questions. You know, so that's kind of scary, man.
Yeah, because we mentioned that last time that we were talking about I forgot what episode we were talking about, but we said that, oh, all good people go to heaven.
Yeah. Whatever we discussed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about it, and I'm like, had the realization that, dude, if I'd have died 2.5 years ago,
right,
a good chance I would have gone to hell. Because at that point, I still technically, and again, we discussed that you didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. but I never fully accepted the fact that he died for my sins.
Right.
I watched the movies. I've heard the stories.
Right.
But personally, me to say, yes, this is exactly why he did it.
Right.
Not before that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I knew the story.
I just want to be, I guess, kingdom minded, but I really feel like there's going to be a lot more people in heaven than we expect than what it sounds like in the Bible. Cause I just feel like God just loves everybody, man. You got to really be just a dumb truck to like get there on judgment day. You got to just be a real evil person and be like, nope, no, and no. God's gonna be like, get this fool out of here. You know what I'm saying? But so
you're saying like people from other religions?
Absolutely. I really do. Because I mean, listen, if we were born in some of these other areas with these other religions,
right.
Is that our fault? Is that our fault? No. So right. should they suffer for that? No. So I think, again, you know, it says you're saved by your faith. They have faith, but it might not be, you know, how it's supposed to be written in the Bible, but they have a type of faith that, you know, it's good. But it's just not focused on what it needs to be on. But once I believe once they get to see the truth, and it's just my opinion now. Right. I'm just giving you my opinion. I believe that once judgment day comes, I hope that God gives an opportunity to see what's really real and what they were believing and led to believe in what they were born into wasn't. And they're like, hey, I want that. That's real. Because, yeah. I mean, that would be unfair for someone to be born somewhere deep in, you know, Taliban country. And it's like, literally, you'll get killed if you're not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's kind of wrong, you know?
No, I agree.
That's just my opinion, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Nah, for sure, man. Nah, it was a cool show. It was a good conversation, man.
I mean, there's just a lot more to it, man. There's a lot more growing. And, yeah. But like you said, man, you gotta really plug yourself in somehow, some way. Yeah. And don't think that you have to sit there and listen to every worship song or read your Bible all day long.
You do.
Yeah. You know what? It'd be nice.
Or maybe you do.
But don't feel bad if you're not initially. Not.
Right.
But, you know, God calls your heart. You know, we're all different parts of the body. It'll come to you. Something will click. And when it does, humble yourself to it. You know, accept it.
Yep.
You know, he's giving you a way in, you know what I'm saying? So accept whatever that is and let that grow. Let that seed grow.
Yes.
You know, because we let every other kind of seed grow around here. Let that seed grow. And let it become what it was. Because I wasn't big into worship music. I wasn't big into all that stuff. And then, you know, I let it grow. And it grew. And I'm like, man, I can't live without it now.
Right.
Are you a singer at church when the worship music song is on? Are you singing?
Listen.
Are you a singer? I'm just curious.
I'm a praise dancer. You know what I'm saying? You don't know about the praise dancers. You don't know about that.
I do.
Nah. She know about that. Nah. You know what? I'm not. I definitely will sing the songs that I know.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I make sure that I keep it low enough that the person in front of me don't hear me because they be like, man, you're ruining the song for me right now. Play it like, I can't even hear them, not you.
Hey, this ain't no paid concert. This is me having got some.
For real, man. Now, are you a throw your hands in the air type of guy when the worship music is on? Both hands or one
Renee
hand?
Renee is.
I am. I do both. I do one. I do both. And I'll be honest with you. I very rarely do I go up to the altar.
Yeah.
I do from time to time, but I more get on my knees right where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I like to get on my knees right there and try to humble myself there and just kind of let it out right there. Yes. That's me. That's the way
How about you?
I just do one hand.
Just one hand. Okay. Yeah.
And sometimes she sways. She got that.
I'm a swayer.
She catches the beat.
Yeah, I kind of be dancing a little bit. I kind of sway back and forth. Yeah, I usually go halfway up with the hands. You know what I'm saying? I don't really go all the way up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
You're not there yet.
My arms be burning. My shoulders be burning. I'm like, man,
that's like when they say extend your hand and pray for these people. After a while, I'm like, man, you better hurry up.
So I ain't the only one, right?
No.
Because I start off halfway, then I hold my arm. Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't want to take my prayer back. And I switch hands real quick.
Yeah,
and I hold Rana's hand up. I'm like, you do it for the both of us.
No, that's happened a few times. I mean, I gotta start working out.
Yeah, for real, dude. Yeah,
right. Okay, I'm glad
I ain't the only one. Man, that's good.
Burning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I do like to go to the altar, though. I do enjoy that, man, because I just feel like.
Altar calls, or you go up there, nobody's up there, you just walking up there doing your own
thing. Altar calls. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to do that because it's just, I don't know, there's something about it. You know, I just feel closer. And honestly, I just like to, you know, because, you know, people get shy. And they're like, hey, if you need prayer, you need this. It's on my heart to be like, you know what? Go up and lead that. Go up there and show everybody else that you need prayer, so they need prayer. You know, and maybe it's just for my wife, you know, that's sitting next to me who might want to go up there, but she's shy. Right. But I'm like, nope, let's go up there. You know, I don't necessarily need the prayer like that right now, but I'm going to go anyways because I always need prayer. So let's do this.
Right.
That's good.
You know, or when the pastor's like, hey, raise your hand if you, you know, first one with my hand up. Like, let's do it.
You know what I saw? Today at service was, and I don't know if you noticed, Brother Luis.
Yes.
Was up there, like, during worship.
Yeah.
He was jumping and dancing. And I ain't gonna lie, I looked at him and went, man, I wish I could do that. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
He was enjoying himself. He was worshiping. I'm like, that's dope.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't go up there and do what he was doing. But, yeah, maybe someday. Now, have you been in worship where you're just like, I don't feel it today?
Oh man, you know what?
Fight through it, or
yeah, you know, sometimes if I'm running late or I'm just distracted before I come in, absolutely, man. You know what I'm saying? Depending on what it is, every now and then, you know what I'm saying? The message is always good, man.
Right. We're not disputing that.
The message is always good. You know, but you know, you got to come in focused. You got to come in humble. And usually I just try to take a time for myself to really pray myself in. Mm. You know, you can't go there and be like, feed me, pastor. You know, you got to come in ready. Right. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, bud?
Yeah, there's some times that I just be like.
Just ain't feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. I don't think anybody can go in there and feel it every Sunday.
Not feel it where you're jumping up like Luis, but yeah, I mean.
But you know what? Sometimes, I mean, it's good to listen to it. And I mean, I'll go with it. But sometimes it's just tears just fall. Mm. And you know God's talking to you at that moment.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that happens too.
But yeah. And that's when I'm like, okay, I'll accept it. And sometimes you just be holding it back. I'd be trying not to blink because I'm like, these tears are going to fall. But yeah, sometimes I do that. But yeah, there's some other times that I'm just there and I'm like, I'm not feeling it today.
You know what? I haven't cried at church yet, man. I don't think
you I've, know. You know, I have. I have during worship. I have.
Yeah.
And it's funny because like I feel the tears coming down. Right. Like I said, I'll get on my knees and I just start praying it out. And I do feel it like I'm really talking to him. So, you know what I mean? I get emotional. And then somewhere in that prayer, I'll kind of glance up at the time. And I'm like, oh, I got 5 minutes to get cleaned up. And I gotta like, you know, regroup myself. Cause then right after worship, they're what they say, you know, what you go, start greeting people around you. Yeah, I ain't trying to greet people with snot and tears in my eyes. You know what I mean? So I do try to like, okay, let me regroup myself.
And they make you run to that, Kleenex box up front too. Everybody see, oh, he was crying.
Yeah.
This dude was crying.
So I gotta give myself about 5 minutes, clean it with my shirt. You know what I mean?
He must have had a good week.
he did something wrong. His wife mad at him.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh man. but understand, being saved is so amazing because you're protected.
Right.
You weren't protected before. Exactly. You were just out there running wild. You know, I understand. Like, God loves you. I get it. He's your creator, but he's not necessarily your father at that point.
He's not.
He's definitely your creator, but not necessarily your father. So when you accept Christ, I mean, he sent his one and only son here for us. So, I mean, that's the least you can do is say, hey, yeah, I believe that happened. That's what being saved is. You're accepting that. that actually happened. You believe it was for you and you love him for it. So when you do that, now you're protected.
Right.
And you trust me, we need that protection.
Yes.
We absolutely do. Whether you realize it or not, there's a lot of stuff happening. You turn on the news and you be thinking that stuff be happening everywhere else except to you. Mm. You can be a statistic one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get that protection.
Man, that's true. All right. So, yeah, you guys want to start winding down? You guys cool?
Oh, I was going to say there's this new series that Joel Osteen produced on History Channel. Mm. And it's about Jesus. And it's about through the eyes of the people that knew Jesus. So it's got Mary, a series on Mary. So the first one is Joseph, Mary. Then he's got Peter. And so he's going to have a few series on there. And it's looking at Jesus through the eyes that were with Jesus, not just Jesus.
Yeah, the Gospels. I like that. So that's cool.
Really good on the History Channel.
So when's it start?
It's already started. They have like 6 episodes on there.
I'm gonna
already
be on that tonight. That's what's up. I love stuff like
they're
that.
They're only 42 minutes long.
Yeah,
but it's really good. Like
on the History Channel.
Yeah, History Channel. It starts with Mary. And all right.
Do you ever catch that movie I was telling you about? What's that movie? Elvis got us watching that one time.
The diner? The counter?
Yeah, the encounter.
Not yet.
I haven't saved yet. I haven't had the time to, like, because I want to watch the whole thing all the way through.
Okay.
Not yet. I fell asleep, so I'm going to.
It's good.
No, that's cool. It's a little slow, but it's cool. It's
no, I want to see it. I like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Good. Okay, so sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. Just, you know, again, I think that also one thing we forgot to mention is make sure you try to go to a good Bible church. That's one thing I think we really didn't talk about.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So make sure you go to your church and they refer to the Bible. So you should just kind of read the Bible just so you make sure you're getting the right teachings.
Yeah, you want to be taught the Bible.
You know, that's important.
Yeah. A lot of people want to entertain you and that, you know, it is what it is. But as long as you have to be taught the Bible, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're here for.
So that was the one thing I think we forgot to add. But anyways,
yeah.
Other than that, our website is up. Our website is up. We have, the roughandrealpodcast.com. Go check that out. It's work in progress. Shout out to Brother Marcus for hooking that up for us. But that's up and going. Check us up on Facebook, Instagram, the Rough and Real Podcast. Send us an email at the roughandrealpodcast@gmail.com. And real soon, we'll also have maybe some kind of Patreon site or something people can help us donate. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that we continue to give back to the community, because I think that's where our hearts are.
Yeah.
That's what we want to start doing. So that's where we're going. Again, shout out to everybody that came out last Sunday and everybody else that wants to keep helping.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, no, and I just want to say, keep us in prayers too, because we have some things that, you know, Renee and I want to do on our own to help out the world, help out, you know, our communities. You know, I'm looking at starting a funeral home one day. Renee has some ventures of his own. So pray for us. Pray for the Rough and Real Podcast, please.
Yep.
Definitely.
And shoot us an email. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know. Dude, did you see the post I put on, and I know just going back. We actually have listeners in Bulgaria. We have listeners in China.
That's
amazing. China's big, yeah.
China, Bulgaria. There was another one.
Germany?
There's Ireland.
Ireland. There's
yeah,
Germany. There's
yeah.
And then have you gone through all the states in the United States?
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We have people in Portland. We have people in Washington, Nevada, Texas. Shout out to everybody in Texas. I mean, New Jersey, we got New York, we got Rhode Island.
We're almost all 50 states.
It was cool. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. So shout out to everybody who's listening. It's been a while. Me and Curtis haven't talked about it. I think the last time we talked about listeners, we were so happy because we broke that 100 mark per episode.
Exactly.
And, but no, we are humbled and thank you guys. We know if it wasn't for you guys, this is what motivates us to keep doing it, is you guys listening. We love you guys for it. We thank you guys for it. All the listeners, supporters. Appreciate it. Amazing.
3,700 now, man.
3,700.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, we're moving, man.
Yeah. We're getting up there, man.
We're moving. Mm-hmm. But it's got to do with the listeners, man. So thanks, you guys. We love you guys. All right. Let me flip a coin. Who's going to pray us out?
Letty.
Curtis.
She memorizes scripture.
I will walk out the door.
Our Father prayer?
I don't know it in English. I only know it in Spanish.
That would be cool.
So I could do it in Spanish.
Please do that.
All right. Here we go. Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Vénganos tu reino. Hágase tu voluntad, así en el cielo como en la tierra. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, así como nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos de todo mal. Amén.
Amen. She could do all like right. Them commercials where they read the disclaimer at the bottom, because that was quick. She was like, I'm getting through this prayer quick.
That's Spanish for you, though. Spanish is pretty fast.
Spanish is quick. Really?
See? No.
This can give you gonorrhea.
Amen.
All right, guys. Thank you again, everybody, for listening. We are the Rough and Real Podcast. Me, Curtis, and Letty are in the house. Love you guys. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Love you.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
And we are out.